The Lord be with you.
With
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you remember, last Sunday, the reading from the Gospel was about Jesus was asked about paying taxes. Is it right to pay tax to Caesar or not? And as you know, Jesus was continually being questioned by the Pharisees, but there were always, he was hostile questions. He was questioned about the law and about divorce and about ritual washing and many, many things. It was never a friendly question. It was always a rather hostile question. Jesus, so to speak, was always being put on the spot. And the reason he was being asked those questions was to see could they trap him. If Jesus had been on a debate stage, as we witnessed this week, the moderator would maybe have asked him, after all the discussion and the various other questions, "Could you sum up in a few words your campaign? Is it about make America great again or build back better? What is your character? What are you going to do?" And that kind of explains in some ways the question he was asked this morning. What is really your relationship with God? What really is your character? In the Jewish law at that time, they had 613 different laws. They had 258 positive commandments, and they had 365 negative commandments. So the negatives outweighed the positives. And that's interesting, because very often we are much more concerned, I think, as Catholics, with what we should not do rather than what we should do. I think you could honestly say we grew up with a very negative attitude towards God. We were always on the things that you couldn't do rather than the things we ought to do. And every good Jew in those days would have known all those commandments off by heart. Now, also, every good Jew said a certain prayer every day called the Shema. And the Shema was a simple prayer, and it was said twice a day by every Jew. It was, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And of course, Jesus as a Jew would have been very aware of that. And so when he was asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law, they were kind of testing him, which of the 613 commandments were the most important. And he quoted, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And then he put in another little bit there, "and your neighbor as yourself." So it was about right relationship. He would have been very aware, as every Jew would have been, of a famous rabbi called Hillel, who was asked if he could sum all the commandments, the 613, or if he could recite, not sum, if he could recite all the 613 commandments of the Jewish law. And he said, "I will do it for you while standing on one leg." And so I'm not going to try standing on one leg and end up on the floor. But while standing on one leg, Hillel summed up the law by saying, gave all the commandments by saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And so Jesus then put in the other little bit, "love your neighbor as yourself." And that's where the difficulty comes in, because I don't think most people have a genuine love for oneself. You might like yourself in some ways, but do you really love yourself? And I think the reason for that is we're putting, so to speak, the cart before the horse. Because we got to, first of all, come to the solemn belief, the fundamental belief, that I am, you are, absolutely loved by God. No matter who you are, no matter where you were born, where you came from, each person is an image of God. And when I realize that little me, with all my faults and with all my failings, that I am absolutely loved by God, and until I can have total self-acceptance of that fact, then I can never really love everyone else. I must believe that first in my own heart. And when I firmly believe, without any shadow of doubt in my mind, that I am eternally, not just from the moment I was born, but from all time and for all time, I am and I will be loved by God absolutely. When I can really believe that, then I can see you, everyone else, in a different light. And that's where sometimes we fail. You've got to begin. And that was one of the reasons that Jesus put in that extra little bit, love your neighbor as yourself. And so I realize as I stand here before you, I am not perfect. So why should I expect you or anybody else to be perfect? So I got to love myself with all my faults and with all my failings, because that's how God loves me. Now that might come across as maybe something you never realized before. But when I realize that God loves me as I am, I'm not perfect, far, far from it. But still, God loves me, absolutely. And there's not one thing I can do today to make God love me one tiny bit more, because his love is absolute and is infinite. And the same applies to you. Now, when I see you like that, as a person loved by God, then that gives me the ability to overcome whatever faults and failings I see in you. Because this is the other amazing fact that most of us don't realize. The faults and the failings that stand out in you are mine. Are mine. We never see others as they are. We see them as we are. So for example, if I continually lie and I'm very economical with the truth, then more than likely I won't believe anything you tell me. That's something worth thinking about. So to finish off, as the Jews had Shema, that prayer they said twice a day, do we as Catholics have something correspond to the Shema? And I think we do, because how do we recognize one another as being Catholic? When do we say, oh, she must be Catholic, or he must be Catholic? How do we come to that conclusion very often? Somebody out there that we never saw before. And it's a simple thing. We suddenly realize if we see somebody doing what? Making the sign of the cross. Have you ever thought what that really means? It's both horizontal and vertical. So, in the name of the Father, God most important in my life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So in other words, God, I love with all my heart and with all my soul. In my heart, that's the axis. And left and right, my neighbor on my left and my neighbor on my right, that's the horizontal, that's our, and it all comes down to relationship. And it's a relationship with God. So I'm either in relation with God or I'm not. And then the other Shema prayer that we have two really, is the Lord's Prayer. And one of the most important parts of the Lord's Prayer is, forgiveness. That we are willing to forgive. Forgive me my trespasses. How? As I forgive those who trespass or sin against me. So we have a shema. And the sad thing is, it's a lovely shema in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm always sad, or I'm just distressed when I see somebody blessing themselves like that. That is not the sign of the cross. It is not. And it's lovely to see somebody really doing it as if they meant what they were doing. So hopefully you look into that and you see it as a very important sign. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.